Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Across the UK, online and on DAB Digital Radio. Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers on TalkSport 2. All the action, excitement and drama from across the entire women's game, including the Women's Super League.
Cleared off the line by Steph Horton.
The UEFA Women's Champions League and the Euro 2021 qualifiers.
Lana Clelland striking from outside the penalty area.
World-beating big match conversation on the station that's raising the game for women's football.
And she scored!
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers on TalkSport 2.
Hello, a very happy Monday to you. Welcome to Women's Football Weekly. It was a huge week for Chelsea as they faced two season-defining games in 5 days, and things got off to a good start domestically against Manchester City.
Shoots a corner away. Kerr is there, and Chelsea lead. What a crucial goal that could be. It could be the goal that settles the WSL title.
But they faced a tough Champions League battle on Sunday in Munich.
This is the Champions League semi-finals. If anyone thinks it's a walk in the park, including the players, they completely underestimate that the four teams at this stage are here because of the qualities they possess.
And a Women's Super League great announces her retirement.
William, so how about that? A moment of sparkle from Farrah Williams.
So many moments of sparkle from Farrah Williams over the years. We'll also be talking about the upcoming social media boycott, and we'll speak to Manchester City's Gemma Bonner about her big move to the NWSL. This is Women's Football Weekly, National Radio's only dedicated women's football show. Hi there, team. How are you doing? Hope your weekends have been good. Got some cracking guests as ever for you. Let's say a very good evening to the wonderful Anita Asante of Aston Villa. How are you doing, Anita?
I'm very well, Faye. Thank you for having me on again.
Always a pleasure. Tom Gary of that's just too difficult to say all in one. Tom Gary of The Telegraph. How about that?
Hi, Faye. Really nice to speak to you.
Yeah, well, if I could speak, it'd be even nicer, wouldn't it? Why don't we start with some breaking news on the pitch? That England's record appearance holder Farrah Williams will retire at the end of the season after a 20-year career. She announced earlier on today that after much consideration and despite offers to remain in the game, she's made the difficult decision to hang up her boots. 172 caps for England, World Cup bronze medal, 2 WSL titles with Liverpool, 2 FA Cups with Everton and then Arsenal. Anita Asante, she's a player you know well. What was your reaction to this news?
Yeah, I'm actually sad to see her leave the pitch. You know, we know how talented she is and what an impact she's makes to her team. And obviously she's made over the years to the national team. But, you know, she's had such an amazing career and, you know, I'm really happy for her. And I know she'll have such an impact off the pitch as well and supporting the game.
Yeah, she certainly will. She says, I look forward to remaining within the game, pursuing opportunities within the media and continuing my coaching badges. I've spoken a lot to Farrah about this and she's got such an exciting future ahead of her within women's football and beyond, Tom.
Yes, I've spoken to lots of people in the past hour or so as well who think she's going to go on to make a terrific coach. But I think people people will remember a born winner, somebody with an incredible attitude in the dressing room, very determined, but also somebody who had immense skill with the ball. And as a character, let's not forget, this was somebody who was on the streets for several years and went on to become England's record appearance holder, which as a life story is remarkable. I think she is an icon for the sport, and let's hope that she stays within the game in some form, and English women's football can carry on benefiting from her knowledge and her experience.
Yeah, definitely. Anita, what can you see her going on and doing? Where's she going to thrive?
Oh, I mean, like you say, Farah is such an amazing character in the dressing room, has been over the years, and her knowledge of the game, you know, her understanding and her coaching ability. I think she'll do very well as a coach in management, a number of things, just because she has the mentality and the winning mentality, and she knows what it takes to create an elite performance, you know, environment.
And when you look back on her career, she's had so many amazing moments, hasn't she?
Unbelievable moments. Obviously, she was part of the 2015 World Cup side with England. I believe, you know, she's won a number of titles, winning the league with Liverpool. And, you know, like I say, she has that winning mentality, that drive. But, you know, you have to mention her just natural ability on the ball, her technical ability. You know, I remember being blown away by her as a youth player playing against her, and she absolutely ruined us. So, you know, that's what, you know, I know of Farah, just her creative ability. She was a set piece specialist, an all round type of footballer. And I think that was one of her many qualities.
Yeah, she's thanked key figures in her career as well, including Hope Powell and Mo Marley, and journalist Tony Layton as well, who used to promote the women's game when no one else did. And it's really important that she recognises people like that who've helped her along her journey. Tom, for you, is she the first inductee to the new FAWSL Hall of Fame?
I would certainly hope so, and if not, certainly at least among the first three names to be reeled off for that Hall of Fame, because that would be fitting. And I think it was absolutely lovely that she mentioned Tony Layton, somebody who those of us working in the media covering women's football know and think of very highly and very fondly. And I think it's safe to say that my job at the moment would not exist as a role without hard work from the likes of Tony. So that was really lovely that Farah mentioned him, and obviously Hope and Mo Marley as well. And I think this is somebody who, it's hard to find anybody with a bad word to say about Farah Williams. And I think all the tributes that we'll hear over the next 24 hours will reflect that.
Yeah, well, we certainly have nothing but amazing things to say about Farah. She's a friend of Women's Football Weekly, obviously. We did ask her if she'd come on, but I think she's just switched her phone off. She knew that there was going to be a load of attention on her. She shies away from that all the time. And so she's just gone into hiding for a little while until she's ready to speak to people. And I'm sure that her management company are going to have her doing media appearances to discuss her decision soon. It's clearly come a little bit too soon for us here on Women's Football Weekly, but we'll speak to her and find out what's next for her soon. And exciting times, and we certainly wish her all the best of luck. We're also planning to do a special Farah tribute come the end of the season as well, so stay tuned for that. Now, the big news before Farah Williams dropped that bombshell on us earlier on today was that social media boycott the FAWSL and FA Women's Championship have decided that they're going to... in fact, let me just start that again, because the social media boycott they announced on Saturday night, they're going to be joining with the Premier League, EFL clubs and others as well, many other organisations, in coming off social media from Friday this week until Monday inclusive, in response to the ongoing and sustained discriminatory abuse received online by players and many others connected with football. The boycott shows English football coming together to emphasise social media companies must do more to eradicate online hate while highlighting the importance of educating people in the ongoing fight against discrimination. I know that this is gathering momentum as well. I know many organisations connected with football and journalists as well that I've spoken to won't be posting on Twitter, on Facebook or on Instagram. Personally, I'll also be coming off all three platforms, and I know that there are ongoing discussions within TalkSport Towers about potentially doing the same. So a lot of people are getting on board with this, and this is kind of the only thing people can do really to try and get these social media companies to wake up and do something about this, Anita.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a great show of collective action across the leagues and having all of us participate to try and put pressure for this kind of change. It's important to make sure that we can get our stakeholders in the game involved as well. That's including sponsors and brands and all the other elements that are involved in supporting football. And this is really one way to sort of take power, I guess, in one sense, and show them that, you know, everyone is sick and tired of the kind of abuse that people are having to deal with on social media. And we are demanding for that change, for them to start to take action and take it seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. How did it come about? Did the club gather you all together to tell you that this was going to be the collective decision moving forward? Or were you part of the discussions about this happening?
The discussions have been taking place within the PFA. And they've been getting, you know, regular communications out to our club representatives and leadership groups to talk about this within our own teams. And then that decision was made, you know, collectively that everyone would like to participate, and they recognise that it's a really positive action to take. And hopefully it will have that kind of spiral effect and get lots of other people who just, you know, are part of the game, love the game, to jump on board as well.
Yeah, and that does seem to be what's happening, Tom. Anecdotally, I've spoken to a number of people who, like me, will be coming off of social media over that period of time from Friday to Monday. What are you hearing?
Yes, I think a lot of members of the media will do the same. Certainly, I will do that. Not that I expect anybody to miss my rubbish offerings on social
same.
Media.
But, I need to put the caveat in. Same with me.
But nonetheless, clearly football is unified with this, and that it's been bad for a long time. But what really struck me recently was that the bravery of teenagers like Lauren James and Jude Bellingham to speak out about this, and when it comes to teenagers, to have a stronger voice than some of the social media people and people in authority, you know, then that tells me there's something significantly wrong, that we're relying on youngsters to be so brave to speak out. And let's hope it has a positive impact. And let's also not forget how significant a weekend this is for so many teams. And that's why it's such a strong statement to make over this weekend. I mean, this is obviously a women's football show as well, women's Champions League semi-finals, but also in the men's game, several teams are set to clinch from promotion. In the Football League, and yet they're happy to honour this boycott, which I think says a lot about how strongly everybody's feeling about this.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, everybody knows the benefits of social media. They understand that. They understand what it means for brands and for money and for exposure and everything else. But at the same time, there has to be a line drawn, and we've way gone over that line now. And I do feel as if the social media companies have ignored it and swept it under the carpet for long enough and made enough excuses as to why they can't tackle things. And I understand legal ramifications and privacy and various other things going on. I get that. But they've had a very long time in the spotlight where they have been the technology giants driving this forward. They should have been doing more behind the scenes. And if they are doing stuff behind the scenes now, at least tell us about it. Tell us what's going on. Stop sweeping it under the carpet and pretending that everything is okay, but their hands are tied, because it's quite infuriating for the people that are being targeted and the people that are reading this kind of stuff on a daily basis. It's just gone far enough now. Right, I'm sure that is not going to go away, and we'll on Women's Football Weekly next week. As I say, I won't be on social media, so hopefully you'll all remember when the show is 6 till 7 next week. Better plug it now. Right, you're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. I'm Faye Carruthers alongside Anita Asante and Tom Garry. Coming up, we're going to talk about the big title game in the WSL and Chelsea's semi-final first leg against Bayern Munich.
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers on TalkSport 2.
This is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2, the only show on national radio dedicated to women's football. I'm Faye Carruthers. Aston Villa defender Anita Asante and The Telegraph's Tom Garry are with me today. And don't forget, if you do miss any of our shows or you want to listen again on our podcast, it's available on the TalkSport app, so you can download it today. Little bit of extra breaking news for you. Farrah Williams has turned her phone back on, and Farrah Williams will be joining us here on Women's Football Weekly very briefly at the end of the show around 6:45. So stay tuned. for that. Right, a massive, massive game, or massive week, really, for Chelsea. Let's start with Manchester City 2, Chelsea 2, shall we? We're going to go on chronological order with this, even though the Champions League match was only on Sunday, because I think they interlink perfectly and impact each other somewhat. So a frantic game from start to finish domestically, and a result that puts Chelsea in the driving seat for the title.
Kerr is there, and Chelsea lead. What a crucial goal that could be. It could be the goal that settles the WSL title. Manchester City 0, Chelsea 1.
Here's him.
Missed by Bright, it's 1-1. Connie Kelly. And the lead lasted just 3 minutes. Mistake by Millie Bright. And Manchester City 11. Lily Roebuck, England international for Manchester City against Penina Harder. The world's best players. Tucks it in, and Chelsea are in front again. Oh, and Kirby, what's she doing there? Kelly, newest wanted in the middle. Mistake by Bright, and it's tucked in. It's 2-2. It's Greenwood with the delivery. Oh, brilliant save. Sensational save there by Anne Katrinberger. One of the best saves of the season. Keeps Manchester City in the race for now, but it finishes 2-2, and Emma Hayes thinks that's the point that will take them to the title. Not yet today, but she knows what it means.
Well, what a game that was. Sam Kerr opening the scoring, a fantastic header from an Erin Cuthbert corner. City flying back though, Lauren Hemp doing what she does, driving run and a ball across the box that Chloe Kelly finished, and then Chelsea reclaimed their lead 5 minutes later through a Pernilla Harder penalty. But City just did not give up, and eventually Lauren Hemp, who's having such an amazing season, found an equaliser in the 74th minute. Really uncharacteristic mistake from Fran Kirby that gave them that equaliser as well. But Tom Gary, this game just had everything, didn't it?
Yes, it was gripping and one of the best games, to be honest with you, in terms of entertainment level, one of the best games of the whole WSL era, to be honest. It was really quite enthralling, and I thought Man City just ran out of time. I thought their winning goal was coming with the way the passage of the play went in the final sort of 15, 20 minutes. I think Lucy Bronze will feel she should have scored the goal that would have won the title in stoppage time when she had that header so late on. But if I'm honest with you, I want to just mention one thing that I'm quite concerned about from an England point of view, which is that Millie Bright, who I've admired for years, has been a brilliant centre half, but she was at fault for both the goals Chelsea conceded, in my opinion, with two missed clearances. And for somebody who was in the World Player of the World Team of the Year in 2020, I guess we have higher expectations. So I think England and Chelsea and GB will hope that that's only a very, very temporary blip from someone who's been so reliable for so long, because that was really out of character and a bit of a worry for Chelsea defensively in the absence of Magdalena Eriksson.
I was going to say they really miss Magda Eriksson, don't they, for sure, and perhaps just a little bit of confidence for Millie Bright missing her as well. But it is difficult because Millie Bright has been fantastic this season, but we've mentioned it on the show before, and she just does have an error in her, unfortunately. Which is disappointing. But to be honest, it was Chelsea goalkeeper Anne Katrinberger that kept them in it, because City, as you say, could and perhaps should have had all 3 points, but she was superb.
The Anne Katrinberger save from Lauren Hemp, which from the press box at the Academy Stadium, we were very fortunate to be right in line with that flicked header. And that was an absolutely phenomenal save. Hard to remember a better save this season. I know there have been some excellent ones, but that really stands out probably as save of the season, because it was such a quick reaction. And I think with almost every other goalkeeper in Europe, Hemp scores there. And again, we're looking at Man City probably as the champion. So that's the fine margins that it can come down to. And yeah, Berger was absolutely superb.
Yeah, she really was. And then after that dramatic match, which means that Chelsea are 2 points clear of Manchester City, City missing that opportunity to go top of the table. Chelsea then had a really tough afternoon against Bayern Munich, lost the match 2-1 in the end. I mean, obviously they're Frauen Bundesliga leaders, Bayern Munich. And the game was held in Germany, so Chelsea had to fly there as well. But it was a really difficult afternoon for them, Anita Asante. They had 12 shots, but just managed one on target. It was a game of very few big chances and perhaps that had the energy sucked out of them a little bit from that match against City and struggled against Bayern.
Yes, I would agree with you, Faye. I think that, you know, they had to put in a lot of energy into that Man City game because they knew they had to be at their best, you know, to get a result on that day. And that takes everybody, and that's mentally draining as well as physically. Then to go on and meet Bayern, who are a very strong side, lots of depth in the squad at the moment, who are playing very well. The start of that game was quite cagey, I would say, for both teams. They were kind of both sussing each other out and trying to figure out how to exploit certain spaces. And, you know, Bayern started off really well. And I think it took a long time for Chelsea to really grow into the game. And then they, you know, got a lot more possession, especially late into the second half. But both teams, you know, didn't really create a lot of clear-cut chances. But I think Bayern definitely looked quite threatening at times on the counter-attack.
Yeah, they definitely did. And we talked about Ann-Kathrin Berger's performance in the City game. But actually, Bayern's opener came from a bit of a mistake from her because she didn't claim the corner. And then the ball fell to Lochman, who headed it home. But against her former side, Melanie Leopold's grabbed Chelsea's equaliser. And crucially, that away goal, which could mean everything, Anita.
Yeah, the away goal is incredibly important for the team. They will feel like, you know, they're still in the competition, of course. They're very strong, Chelsea, at King's Meadow. It was a very uncharacteristic mistake from Ann-Kathrin, and we know how influential and, she's been to the side and has actually kept them in games, as you mentioned before, in the Man City game. So, again, they'll be expecting big performances. And I think they know, with the possession they had, they probably can create a lot more on this Bayern side than they managed to show. But equally, away from home, Bayern was very, very organised and very well-drilled defensively as a team. So I do think they made it difficult.
Yeah, producer Flo made a really good point when we were chatting about this game earlier on. She said they'd really worked Chelsea out. They'd quite clearly done their homework. But I mean, you can't do your homework on an amazing solo goal like the winner was, Tom, can you?
That's true, although I think Jon Anderson will be slightly disappointed that she allowed Hannah Glass to keep running and keep running and keep running. As lovely as the finish was, what a sumptuous finish it was from the Sweden fullback. But my thoughts were overall that although Bayern Munich were very, very impressive, it might turn out to be a missed opportunity for them because I don't think Chelsea were anywhere near the high levels that we've seen them. And they're obviously, you mentioned already, that they played just 4 days earlier against Man City, an exhausting game. And they will not have been 100% fit. And I would expect Chelsea to be a different beast entirely in the second leg next week. Emma Hayes noted in her post-match press conference that they'd heard the Bayern celebrations at the full-time whistle and was very keen to emphasise that they knew that it was only half-time and was almost sort of implying that Bayern were celebrating a little bit early. but I'm inclined to agree. I'm not sure that a 2-1 lead is quite enough. Mm. As good as Bayern were, I'll be very surprised if Chelsea don't come out the blocks on Sunday. And we know that Chelsea are capable of scoring 2-3 times. And it's a big if. But if Magda Eriksson's calf injury concerns are calmed and she does play, then I think that will be a significant game changer. And I've still got a sneaky feeling that Chelsea will get there.
Yeah, it's a big bit. It would be a big boost, wouldn't it? And you mentioned Emma Hayes' post-match presser. Let's hear from the Chelsea manager now because she's feeling positive about what her team can do at King's Meadow.
Two really poor goals to concede. I mean, one across we've prepped for and not that I've seen them back. And the other, for me, was massively disappointing considering it's come from a throw-in. But it's half-time. We've got an away goal and it's half-time. And I think we have to expect that Bayern have played the last few games conceding goals. They change their shape. When teams do that, it presents different challenges. I think the lesson for our team sometimes is that, you know, you don't win the tie this round. Like, that could very easily have gone 3-1 and been a much bigger task for us. So we're not out of it. We've got an away goal and I will take the pluses and take time to reflect because it was, just, you know, as you can imagine, quite My adrenaline's pumping.
She's had a stressful week, hasn't she, Emma Hayes? For sure. But a stressful week I'm sure she would have relished as well. Just to let you know, in the other Champions League semi-final, PSG drew 1-1 with Barcelona, so all to play for in that one as well. Right, this is Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2 with Faye Carruthers, Anita Asante and Tom Garry. And next up, we're going to be chatting to former Manchester City defender Gemma Bonner about her move to the NWSL.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app and on your smart speaker.
Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2, the home for women's football.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. I'm Faye Carruthers, and keeping you company with me is Aston Villa defender Anita Asante and The Telegraph's Tom Garry. Now then, Manchester City defender Gemma Bonner has announced her move to the new NWSL side Racing Louisville FC on a 2-year deal. Gemma joins us now. How are you, Gemma?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Really well, thank you. So, how did this move come about in the first place?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it was probably a bit of a surprise to me. Obviously, I was still contracted at Manchester City, but obviously, Louisville have come in for me, and I have to be grateful for Man City allowing me the opportunity to take up the offer that they put towards me.
Hey, Gemma, Neat's here. I have a quick question for you. What exactly about the NWSL particularly attracted you to the league?
Yeah, hi, Neat. I think for me, it's a different kind of challenge. I mean, you'll know yourself, obviously, you played over there. I think it brings a different physical challenge in terms of the games. They're quite transitional. And for me, it's something that I've been in England for, obviously, all of my career and for 10 years. And I think it's an area of the game that I'd like to challenge myself in further. And hopefully I can bring, in terms of what I offer, in terms of the technical and the tactical side from the English league, and it'll give me a new challenge going over there, and hopefully both things will go hand in hand. And ultimately for me, I want to keep improving as a player, and I think hopefully doing that, it should push me to the next level.
Hi Gemma, it's Tom here. I hope you're well. It goes without saying, we're wishing you the very best with this move. I wondered if you could just give everybody a bit of a sense of how unfortunate the past kind of year has been for you, with not only injury but also illness. Well, it seems like you've had a very unlucky season.
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty difficult period for me. Obviously, I got injured in the new year in January, just before we were due to play our first game with that ankle, and then coming back from that, I obviously suffered from COVID, which was a pretty rough time, to be honest. But then, again, coming back from that, I suffered a muscle tear, so it was quite a frustrating 2 months for me, and it was hard in terms of, you know, the girls are doing so well in terms of on the pitch, and it was hard not being able to contribute to that. But I mean, I was still in training every day as much as I can in the gym, rehabbing. But it almost gave me a lot of time in terms of focusing on my individual and what I needed. And I think each kind of setback brought a different challenge with it. And I think the girls were brilliant and they really kept me going at times. But for me, I'm literally just getting back to near on full fitness now. So hopefully the past few months are behind me now, well and truly, and I can just look forward to getting back and actually playing on the pitch and being available for selection.
Oh, that's brilliant news to hear, Gemma. You say there about your teammates. It does seem like a really close-knit group of girls up at Manchester City, but they must be devastated after that result against Chelsea.
Yeah, I mean, I managed to get to the game and obviously support the girls, which I've tried to do as much as I could this year. But I mean, you know, the talent within the squad is unbelievable, and I think we've really started to hit some form of late, which is obviously shown in the performances. And yeah, obviously I'm very close to a few of the girls, and I'm still going to be keeping in contact with them. And you know, I was hoping as much as anyone that they could obviously get the win the other night, but there's still a few more games left in the league, and I think, you know, every year we're finding it that the games and the league is getting tighter and tighter, both at the top end and at the bottom end. And I think, you know, the quality that was on show for the game the other night was there for everyone to see in terms of how far the women's game has come.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a delay there. I interrupted you. Go for it.
No, so there's still a couple of games left, and I think the league has shown that anything can happen, and that, you know, teams are pulling off important results, especially because of the importance of how close it is at the top and the bottom. So I wouldn't say it's over yet. But yeah, obviously the girls are disappointed not to come away with more than the point the other night.
Yeah, do you feel as if you're going to be missing out on this growth that's happening at the minute? Is there a little part of you that feels that?
Yeah, I mean, as I say, the league is getting better every year. But for me, I've got to look at it as an opportunity for me as an individual. And it's something that I want to do to take my game to the next level. I think, you know, you go into, for me, the US is still the best national team, and they've shown that year in, year out. And for me, playing in the games over there, every team has got US internationals in it. You're training with them, and every game is a different challenge again. So for me, I don't necessarily... The league is just as competitive, I think, over there.
Definitely.
Again, it's just a different challenge. And for me, the US are the best in the world, so I want to be, kind of have a taste of experience of that and what it looks like in terms of actually living the experience and being around that kind of environment week in, week out. So for me, obviously I'm leaving a big thing behind in terms of my family, my friends, and what I've known for the past 10 years. But yeah, I've still got international ambitions. So for me, I want to do something that's going to progress me. And I feel like this is the next step for me.
Excellent. Get yourself on Serena Wiegmann's radar and Hege Riese's in the short term for sure. Mm-hmm. Just before I let you go, Gemma, I want to ask you about Farrah Williams announcing her retirement. She's coming up on the show in about 10 minutes' time. Oh. But obviously, you won the league with Liverpool alongside Farrah. What was your reaction to today's news, and what are your memories of playing with her?
Yeah, I mean, for me, Farrah has been unbelievable. I think, you know, it shows, I think, the response of how everybody speaks about her and how highly they think of her, both on and off the pitch. It shows just, I think, the word legend is thrown around quite loosely. But for me, in terms of women's football and what Farrah does for the game, it's probably unmatchable. In terms of the experiences she's gone through and what she's achieved is... You know, it's on another level, and she's so humble in terms of how she deals with things. And for me, obviously, I was at Liverpool together and playing on the same pitch for a good few years. She was a huge help in terms of, I was a young captain at the time. And, you know, she came in with all the experience in the world that she had, and she really helped me progress and develop under her, and helped me along the side. And even now, you know, the past couple of months, I've still kept in touch with her. And for me to have someone like her there, you know, it's quite special. And I think she deserves all the accolades that she can get, because she has had an unbelievable career, and she's so highly respected within the game.
Yep, she certainly is, as are you as well, though. So good luck with your move, and please keep in touch with us and let us know how it's going, all right?
I will do. Thank you very much.
Brilliant stuff. Manchester City defender Gemma Bonner, who's going to be moving to the new NWSL side, Racing Louisville FC, at the end of this season. Right, now then, we need to just very quickly wrap up a really busy weekend, actually, because there was some action in the WSL and Championship this weekend. The other two games in the WSL involved the teams fighting for that third Champions League spot. Arsenal kept their advantage with a 2-0 win over Brighton. That was their seventh win and seventh clean sheet in a row in all competitions. Manchester United had a dominant 4-1 victory over Tottenham as well to keep the pressure on. Kristen Press was the star in that one, and Arsenal still have that game in hand, don't forget, against West Ham, who they face on Wednesday. But a big game at the bottom of the table. Aston Villa 2, Bristol City 2. Bristol City coming from two goals behind to grab a point against Villa. I'm not going to ask Anita about this game. She was involved in it. It's very unfair. But Ella Mastrantonio scoring in the 95th minute, Tom Gary. That still leaves Bristol City bottom of the table, but tied on points with Villa, having played one game more. I mean, that was a tough one, wasn't it?
It will be a hugely difficult pill for Villa to swallow, having led 2-0. What I would say, though, is that Bristol City needed the win more, looking at the fixture list. Villa with a game in hand, of course, and matches that they will feel, particularly against Birmingham and West Ham, that they can get results from. Mm. Bristol City's fixtures are very difficult now. Manchester United and Brighton, so two of the top six. The only caveat with that is that last season, Bristol City beat Man United. And earlier this season, only in January, we saw Bristol City beat Brighton 3-0. So if they are going to pull up some surprises, then those two fixtures are possible to do so. So, yeah, it's so tight. Just those 2 points between the bottom four. But although it was a brilliant late equaliser in terms of the importance of that point for Bristol City, they've still got a huge amount of work to do because the fixtures are so much harder for them than for their rivals.
Definitely. And obviously you mentioned the four just above them, West Ham and Birmingham, both picked up a point through draws with Everton and Reading respectively. But Birmingham especially disappointed with their 1-1 draw, given how many chances they had to put the game beyond Reading. Some Championship results for you, some upsets as well. Lewis FC 1-0 winners over the champions Leicester City. Sheffield United lost 1-0 to Liverpool. London Bees 3-2 winners over Blackburn Rovers. Charlton under Karen Hills doing some sterling stuff, 2-1 winners over Durham. And Coventry United 5-2 winners over Crystal Palace. Next, England's record appearance maker Farrah Williams joins us to discuss her retirement.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app and on your smart speaker. Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2, the home for women's football.
You're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2, the UK's only national radio show dedicated to women's football, with me, Faye Carruthers, Aston Villa defender Anita Asante, and The Telegraph's Tom Gary. If you miss any of the show, you can catch up by downloading the TalkSport app and subscribing to our podcast. Just search Women's Football Weekly. Now, I told you earlier on, Farrah Williams had switched her phone back on. Millions of messages of congratulations after she announced her retirement today after a fantastic career spanning 20 years. And I'm delighted to say, I think we might even have the first interview with Farrah Williams after she made this decision. How are you doing, Farrah?
Hi, very well, thank you.
Excellent.
A little bit emotional, but well other than that.
I bet you are. I bet you are. Now, what kind of messages have you been receiving? But first of all, tell me how you came to this decision in the first place.
I mean, it's been something, I think, since I got the illness back in May last year. I think it was something that I had been thinking about. I didn't want the illness to defeat me, though, so I tried to fight on with the illness and try and play. And I didn't feel ready to finish before I got the illness. I think it's played a massive part in my decision in terms of, you know, thinking, considering my health. So I just think now is probably, for me, the right time to hang the boots up and see what's out there for me next.
I think there's so much out there for you next. You must have just been inundated with messages from people congratulating you. They'll have known how emotional you'll have been about it as well. So we really appreciate you coming on to chat to us tonight about it. But, you know, your phone must have been buzzing relentlessly.
Yeah, I mean, I've had lots of messages, overwhelmed with the amount of messages that I've had. I tried to read the comments that our, you know, my current manager, Kelly Chambers, had put on the Reading website. I got halfway through before turning the phone off and realising I'm not quite ready to read some of the messages, you know, that people are sending. And I'm really grateful and appreciative to, you know, everybody that's picked the phone up, whether it be for a message, a picture on Instagram or Twitter, or even the phone calls that I've had. Yeah, I'm really grateful for the time that they've given me in putting that in and showing me, you know, the appreciation they have for me and what I've done for the game.
Has it given you an opportunity to look back at what's been such an incredible career? And have you kind of sat there and picked out any particular highlights?
Not really. I just seen a picture when I made my debut for England, laughed a little bit at, you know, how massive the kit was on me, how tiny I was, how young I looked. But no, I haven't really reflected on it. I was trying to get it out of the way. I didn't want the last week of my career in terms of playing to be emotional, so I didn't want to do it the week of playing. And I wanted to do it before the end of the season, before, you know, the girls concentrate on the Olympics, etc. I didn't want it to be a big thing. I wanted to get it out of the way and just finish the season with the girls and enjoy, you know, the last 2 weeks as much as I can without, you know, having kept it a secret from everybody.
Always deflecting the attention away from yourself. Astounding. I've said this to you before. I think Tom's got a question for you, actually.
Yeah.
Hi, Farah. It's Tom. Many congratulations on such a remarkable career. And I just wanted to ask you about two managers that you mentioned in your statement, Hope Powell and Mo Marley. Could you tell us a bit about the influence they had on not only your career, but also how big a figures they were in terms of support figures for you in your life?
Yeah, I think I've said it openly before, the impact they had on me, not just as a player, but as a person, you know, in difficult moments in my life, take away the footballer, which, you know, most people will look at. I think they looked at me and the person that I was and really wanted to help me in those moments. And I'll be forever grateful. I mean, they know what they mean to me as people before a manager. So I think they know what they've done for me and how much they helped me in those moments. And you know, they're two people that, you know, I'm continuously in contact with and have helped me throughout my whole career. And I'm sure, you know, going forward in the next chapter, they'll be there for me as well.
Hey, Farah, it's Neat. I got a quick question for you. You know, I would describe you as having a mentality monster. You have incredible life experience and obviously playing experience. But what is it about your mentality that drives you, that has driven you throughout the 20 years of playing, which is unbelievable?
Do you know what? I think I get most of it from my mum. I think, you know, she's somebody that inspired me ever since I was a little girl. You know, the tough moments that she had that I witnessed and she was able to break down any barrier, you know, that was put, you know, in front of her. So she certainly was somebody that inspired me. And growing up on an estate in a cage where, you know, it was survival mode. You know, if you wanted to be a footballer, you had to be able to survive within it, otherwise you were out of the cage. And so I was a little fighter from that cage on an estate growing up. And yeah, you had to, you know, I guess that was where I got the little, I guess, the spitefulness in me in terms of wanting to achieve the very best I could.
We watch you on the pitch and you and I have had many conversations over the past couple of years or so about your career and the troubles that you've had and the way you've overcome so much in your life. Does this kind of give you an opportunity to look at that and actually recognise how far you've come?
Yeah, most definitely. I think, you know, once, you know, the season is done in a couple of weeks and I've, you know, a bit of time to reflect on a long career, I think it'll be something that I miss massively. I don't think I'll regret the decision because I certainly think the timing of it for me and how I'm feeling it is right. But I know I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss everything about what he's given me. The game's given me so much opportunity. And you know, people talk about when I was a little girl dreaming of being a footballer. I actually didn't have that dream. I just loved the game. And I think I just tried to take, you know, every day, whether that be in training or on the pitch, and show that. So I think I'll reflect once I've had the time away yeah, really realise what, not just what I achieved in the game, but what actually the game gave to me as a person.
But you can still achieve so much more in the game as well, because I know you're doing your coaching badges. What are you thinking of in terms of the future? Where does your future lie within women's football?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a long way to go in terms of my coaching badges at the minute. I certainly feel ready to coach. I don't, you know, I'm far away from management at the moment, but in terms of coaching within a first team environment, within the WSL, that's something that I'd like to do. I've still got, I've been given another 10 months with the FA, with the under-17s as a second coach for that team. So that's something I'm looking forward to doing and completing my badges. And then if there's media opportunities out there for me to talk about the game that, you know, has given me so much and that I love so much, then of course that's something that I'll consider.
Well, you know, there are always media opportunities for you here on Women's Football Weekly. We'll have you back whenever you want to come on. Thank you so much for coming on tonight and giving your first interview after making that announcement. And genuinely, I know it's an emotional day for you, but I hope you feel proud at the same time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Take care, Farah. Farah Williams there, England's record appearance maker, announcing her retirement from women's football today. Fantastic that she came on TalkSport 2 to discuss that with us. We are going to be doing a special on Farah towards the end of the season as well. I just want to wrap up with a few little stories that we were going to talk about at the top of the show. And Farah just came in with her bombshell and stole all the headlines, as she deservedly can. But earlier on this week, we talked about the social media boycott, but a few other off-the-field stories to dissect, because the PGMOL were announced as now that Barclays FA WSL and FA Women's Championship officials will cross over to the professional game match officials, which basically gives them access to the same facilities, training and support that those in the men's game receive, which potentially is the next step to professionalism. I'm sure we'll talk about this more moving forward, because, you know, I think many people are hoping that it will also improve officiating standards in women's football. Really disappointed to be able to tell you the news, which I'm sure many of you have seen, that Laura McAllister lost out on her FIFA council election bid. Incumbent Evelina Cristalline from Italy won by 33 votes to 22. Laura obviously disappointed with the result, but the fact that they were just six votes short of winning that election, she says, is hopefully testament to the modern professional and football focused campaign that she ran. And then the application process opens for promotion in tiers 3 to 6 as well, after it was curtailed. So the FA have said the process of upward club movement via application and based on set criteria is underway. Wolves manager Dan McNamara has confirmed that they're applying as well. They're in the fourth tier, the National League Division 1 Midlands, and have been really strong across the last two seasons, so good luck to them for that. And then just finally, Team GB, which is just going to be a passing thought, I'm afraid, on today's show. The women's football draw for the Tokyo Olympics was made, and Team GB have avoided World Champions USA, but they face hosts and 2012 silver medalist Japan and two-time bronze medalists Canada. They kick off the tournament against debutants Chile on the 21st of July, with head coach Hege Risa expected to name her 18-player squad at the end of May. And I'm going to give the last thought here to Anita on that one. How do you think they're going to fare, Anita Asante, in that group?
Yeah, well, I hope that, you know, they can improve on obviously some of the recent performances and just build the confidence and figure out what, you know, in terms of selection, when the right selection is made, the right synergy. But I think with all the quality and talent we have to pick from, they definitely have a great chance to progress out of this group, in my opinion.
Excellent. I love the positivity. Brilliant stuff, Anita. Thank you very much. Thank you to you. We'll speak to you again soon. Good luck for the end of the season. We'll keep our fingers crossed for you and Aston Villa.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Tom Garry, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for today.
Thanks, Faye. Really nice to speak to you.
Speak to you again soon. So another packed show coming for you next week. But a big thank you to Anita Asante, Tom Garry, Gemma Bonner, Farah Williams as well, producer Flo 2, and all of you as ever for listening. Don't forget, if you do miss any of the show, you can download the Women's Football Weekly podcast via the TalkSport app.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.